Hare Krishna. Thank you everyone for coming again. And today will be our final session before Gaur Purnima tomorrow. So today we'll be discussing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's legacy. What legacy does he leave all of us? How do we continue on in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? And how does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifest in our life every single day? This is what we're going to talk about today. But we'll just do a quick recap. On the first day, we talked about Mahaprabhu's background. On the second day, we talked about Mahaprabhu's life. And yesterday, we talked about Mahaprabhu's love. We began by talking about how people practice religion on different levels. So what's the lowest level of practicing religion? Fear, yes, bhaya, people are afraid if they don't worship, something bad will happen. Higher than that is desire. We have some need, something we want, and therefore we feel God is the port of call for our desires, asha. Higher than that is duty, yes. God has done so much for me, I should do something for him. And the highest, as we know, is love. There is a difference between liking God and loving God. Loving God is when you go in front of God not asking for anything, not expecting anything. But rather you go in front of Krishna and you only want to give, you only want to serve. And you're willing to do anything, not holding back anything. Isn't it? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is teaching. In this beautiful verse, Srinath Chakravarti Thakur, he summarizes the four main teachings. And Mahaprabhu indeed, he came to establish that the goal is that topmost spirituality. Sometimes people say, why? If you guys are teaching the best, why is it so small? Because not everyone is looking for the purest love, the purest spirituality. But that is what Mahaprabhu came to give. Because he told the world, Nadhanam. Na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagati shakamaye mama janmani, janmani shvare, bhavatad bhakti rahai dukite. I don't want money, I don't want followers, I don't want the opposite gender, I only want your causeless service, devotional service, life after life. So he established the goal is love, but in this beautiful verse, it also establishes that who is the object of that love? Krishna, and specifically Krishna in Vrindavan. Because the Brajabasis, they don't love Krishna because he's God. They love God because he's Krishna. There's a difference. So for the Brajabasis, it's inconsequential. Krishna, who is Krishna? Is God? Okay, that's okay. But he's so nice. Krishna is charming. Raso Vaisaha. Therefore, Krishna has all of these names. And who are the devotees who are the example of pure love? The gopis, yes, the gopis. Because they gave everything, isn't it? One day all the gopis had come together and then they asked each other, what did you dream about Krishna last night? So each gopi was telling each other, I dreamt this about Krishna. I dreamt. Always dreaming about Krishna. And then they came to Radharani, they said, you're so quiet, what did you dream about Krishna? She said, dream about Krishna? Dream about Krishna. I was awake all night thinking about Krishna, I couldn't even go to sleep. Where's the question of dreaming about Krishna? So this is whether waking or whether asleep. Manmana bhava madbhakto. The mind is always going towards Krishna. And so the gopis are that example. One time a devotee said, Prabhupada, sometimes I forget about Krishna. Prabhupada said, no, you always forget about Krishna and sometimes you remember him. So that is our situation. And but there is hope because in this world, kalo nasta drisham esha purar narko dhuno dhita. If you are blinded by the darkness of Kali Yuga, there's a guidebook which will teach you how to love again, and that guidebook is Bhagavatam Pramanam. Pramanam means the reference point, the evidence, the place you go to for the answers. So Bhagavatam begins. Therefore, everyone must have a relationship with Bhagavatam. Sanatan Goswami, one day he dreamed. He dreamed that he had got the Bhagavatam because it was very rare to get at that time. You could not just pick it up. So one night he dreamed, oh yes, I've received the Bhagavatam. And then he woke up and he realized, oh no, it was just a dream. I didn't get the Bhagavatam. And then that very day, a Brahmin boy came to him out of the blue and gave him the Bhagavatam. And then he started reading the Bhagavatam and he fell in love with the Bhagavatam. And then what did he say? Madeka bando madsangin madguru madmahadhana mannishtaraka madbhagya madananda namostute. The Bhagavatam, Madeka bandhu, is my only friend. Friend life is the Bhagavatam. Madsangin, my constant companion in life, is the Bhagavatam. Madguru, my spiritual teacher, is the Bhagavatam. Manmahadhana, my greatest wealth, is the Bhagavatam. Mannishtaraka, that thing which is lifting me up, is the Bhagavatam. Madbhagya, my greatest fortune in life, is that I have the Bhagavatam. Madananda, the source of all my happiness, is the Bhagavatam. Namostute, and therefore I offer my obeisances to the Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is your constant companion. You see, everything else in life will change. Your body will change. Your relationships will change. The place you live will change. Your fortunes will change. Your health will change. Everything will change. But the only thing that will stay constant with you is the Bhagavatam can walk through all of those changes with you and becomes your vision so that you don't become disappointed by any of those changes. I was driving past my family home in a place called Wembley in London. So many times I was thinking I'll go back and visit my old school. You know, you go back to your old school, so many memories come. So I thought one day I'll go back. I'll go. And then one day I was driving by my school and I looked and they had knocked the whole school down. And I thought, oh my God, that was a museum, so many memories knocked down in one go like that. And then I realized everything in this world, Anityam Asukham Lokam, Krishna says, Dukhalayam Ashashvat, everything is temporary. So the Bhagavatam is your connection to eternity. So therefore, Mahaprabhu came to teach us that Bhagavatam is the book we should develop a relationship with. And the Bhagavatam, what does it talk about? Love goes beyond Varna. Who's the example? Suta Goswami instructing the sages. Love goes beyond Ashram. Who's the example? Ambarish teaches Durvasa. Love goes beyond gender. What's the example? The wives of the yogic brahmanas who are more advanced than their husbands. Love goes beyond age. Prahlad. Love goes beyond social status. Jada Bharat was instructing Rahugana. Love goes even beyond species because Vritrasura was seen to be more advanced in front of Indra. Never make an external judgment on the devotee. You don't know. Be careful. How do we develop that love? It begins with sadhana, which is love. If you make a dedication that every day I will do sadhana, that's love. You may say, but I chant, I don't have love. I see the deities, I don't have love. I come for Mangalarti. I'm half asleep. But that's still also love, is dutiful love. And if you do that, eventually it will become emotional love, some emotion, some bhav will come. When you're in a kirtan, you will feel some emotion. When you're in front of the deities, you will feel some emotion. When you're with Vaishnavas discussing Bhagavatam, you will feel, my God, I forget about the past, I forget about the future, this is perfection. In the moment, you will feel some bhav. And gradually, it will become prema, pure love. And when it's pure love, then Yam lagdhva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tata yasmin stito na dukhena guru na pi vichalyate. Krishna says, yam lagdhva, once you have that prema, na charam labham manyate nadikam tata, you will think there's nothing more. There's nothing more to strive for in life. This is it. I'm dead. So that's very wonderful. So this is what we're trying to do. Yesterday I didn't get time, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also revealed the glory of Srimati Radharani's love. Srimati Radharani's love is incomparable. But today we don't have time. So tomorrow morning for Gaur Purnima, we'll talk about this. Mahaprabhu was experiencing the love of Srimati Radharani. This love is unparalleled. There can be no more intense type of love than the love Srimati Radharani has. Therefore, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Krishna Nomi Swarupam. Mahaprabhu came in the Radha Bhav. And we'll talk about this tomorrow. Let us come to today's topic, the legacy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What legacy does Mahaprabhu come to leave the world? He drowned all of the worlds in prema. It said his love was like a waterfall. Anyone ever been Niagara Falls? You seen how powerful it is? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, any way he inundated with the world with love was like a powerful waterfall. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed that love to the world, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not form a movement in order to continue that love for generations. But he knew, I've come to give love. I'm Prem Purushottam. I can't just exhibit love. I have to create a system so that in the future, these teachings of love, this accessibility to love, this opportunity to experience love will be available for everyone. So, in order to preserve that legacy, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He established and enlisted the help of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And the six Goswamis of Vrindavan were the ones who made the movement for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see, organizing anything isn't easy work, isn't it? It's like, someone, I was once distributing books, someone told me, I don't like organized religion. I said, don't worry, you love us, we're completely disorganized. So it's not easy to establish organization. It's very difficult. One, actually, there was one banker, he came from Citibank, he came to the temple. So he used to come for Mangalarti. So then one day after Mangalarti, he said, you guys, I haven't seen any corporation as well managed as you. I said, really? Are we seeing the same thing? He said, I haven't seen it. I've traveled all CEOs. I've seen everyone. You guys are the best. I said, really? I said, why? He said, I've been to ISKCON in America. I've been to ISKCON in India. I've been to ISKCON in London. And everywhere at 4:30 in the morning, the curtains open and the RT is there and the process is exactly the same with exactly the same devotion. I haven't seen that anywhere. I said, yeah, wow. It's a good observation. I said, what do you do after Mangalarti? He said, after Mangalarti, I leave. Then I go. I said, that's when all the disorganization starts. Up until the morning program, everything is fairly calm. It's fairly okay, you know. It's not no major surprises there. Now, sometimes the person forgets a little bit, but it's okay. But then what happens in the day? That's unpredictable. So when Mahaprabhu wanted to establish the movement of Krishna consciousness, then he enlisted the help of the Goswamis. You see, the Goswamis were the best leaders. Why? Because they were materially so competent. And at the same time, they were spiritually so deep. And at the same time, in their character, they were so humble. This is leadership. When you're spiritually deep, practically competent, and in your character, you have full integrity, there won't be a person who won't want to follow you. So the Goswamis were so powerful Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they were the biggest officers in the Muslim occupational government. Raghunath Das Goswami was practically a multi-millionaire. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was the son of the head priest in Sri Rangam, which is the headquarters of the Sri Vaishnavas, perhaps the most powerful Vaishnav Sampradaya. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he was the guru of kings. The way he would speak Bhagavatam, even the greatest kings would surrender to him. And Jiva Goswami, he was such an intellectual. He was such a writer. You know how he used to write? They used to write with ink on palm leaves. So you know, he used to write so quick. His ideas were so quick. He would just fill up a page like that. But then he couldn't write on the other side because the ink was wet. So when he would write a book, he would write page one. Then he would write page three. By that time, page one had dried, he would turn around and then write page two. You try it. Well, don't try it. Don't try it. Rupa Goswami would give Jiva Goswami his books to edit. And you know what Jiva Goswami would do? One side, Rupa Goswami's manuscript. Other side, commentary. And then blank page. And what he would do is read Rupa Goswami's writings, look at the commentary, offer some suggestions. Genius! Absolute genius! Kaviraj Goswami says when Jiva Goswami wrote, his writing was like a row of pearls. You can't even make a mistake. If you make a mistake, what do you do? No tipex. You can't. So smart. So they were so competent. So they were the ones that structured Mahaprabhu's movement. So it said that Mahaprabhu's love was like a waterfall. But can you bathe in a waterfall? Don't try it. It's dangerous. You can't. It's too intense. So what did the Goswamis do? The Acharyas say, from the waterfall of Mahaprabhu's love, the Goswamis made an ocean of devotion. They made an ocean of devotion that anyone could bathe in. And how did they make an ocean of devotion? Mahaprabhu told them how to do it. How should you structure the movement? Bhakta bhakti krishna prem tatvira nidhar vaishnavera kritya ara vaishnava achar krishna bhakti krishna prem seva pravartan Mahaprabhu told them, if you want to establish the Krishna consciousness movement, just do these things. And anyone who wants to continue the movement, these are the important things to do. First thing, lukta tirtha, excavate the holy places. Does anyone know what these places are? This is Shyam Kund and Radha Kund, isn't it? Radha Kund. So they went to Vrindavan, where Krishna had performed his pastimes 4,500 years ago. Those places had become lost. They made it known. This is this place. This is the glory. This is where Krishna did this. It said that the Goswamis were sleeping under a different tree in Vrindavan every single night. And under every single tree, they were visualizing the past times that Krishna performed in that place. So they excavated the holy places. Then what did they do? Krishna bhakti, Krishna prem, seva pravartan. They established temples. They established deities. They established places where people go to serve. Therefore we have, why do we have this temple? Because it's a center where people can come and learn to express their love for Krishna. Not only that, Bhakta Bhakti Krishna Prem Tatvera Nidhar, they wrote books. And in these books, hundreds of thousands of verses, they explained how to practice spiritual life. Not only that, they taught Vaishnav culture and etiquette through their own example. Through their own example, spotless. The Goswamis would go around Govardhan and they would go to all the villages, and whenever they would come, everyone would rush around them and hug them. And they were loved by everyone. Dhira, dhira, janapriyo, priyakaro, nirmatsaro, pujito. They were loved by everyone because they had no envy. If you have no envy, you learn to become friends with everyone and you become a friend to everyone. So they were just amazing. And what did they also do? Vairagya Shikshan. They gave instructions in how to be a renunciate, how to live in this world and not become entangled in all the complexity of life, because life can be soul-consuming, a web of complexity. So they taught how to live simply. So these are the five things that they did. And by doing these things, they established Mahaprabhu's movement for generations to come. So if you want to know the complete history of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, this is an easy way to remember it, okay? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated love. A mata bhakta bhav puriyangikar. He demonstrated love. The Goswamis documented how anyone can experience and realize that love in their own life. Then after the Goswamis, Jiva Goswami, he had three main disciples. Their names were Srinivas, Shyamananda, and Narottam. Yeah, you remember these names. And what these three acharyas did is they disseminated that love to Orissa, to Bengal, to the surrounding states around Vrindavan and other places like that. And they spread the knowledge. And then in the next century, what happened? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, great personality, said to be an empowered incarnation of Rupa Goswami, came again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he deepened the understanding of love through all of his commentaries. So Srila Prabhupada, if you look at his Bhagavatam, mainly he's taking from the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sararta Darshini, the name of his Bhagavatam commentary. So Vishwanath deepened that understanding of love. And then Baladev Vidyabhusan, he defended the Sampradaya of love, because at that time, if you remember in the first session, I told you there were four Vaishnav Sampradayas, isn't it? And in order to qualify as a Vaishnav Sampradaya, you have to have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Otherwise, you are not a Sampradaya. So people began complaining that you Gaudiyas, you followers of Mahaprabhu, but you, where is your commentary on Vedanta Sutra? So the Gaudiya said, we don't need a commentary because Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural bhasya, the natural commentary. They said, no, Govindaji. And he said, they are criticizing our followers of Mahaprabhu. They want a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So then Govindaji empowered Baladev Vidyabhusan and he wrote a commentary, Govinda Bhasya. So if you open the Bhagavad Gita today, then what does Srila Prabhupada do? He dedicates the Gita to Baladev Vidyabhusan, who wrote the Govinda Bhasya, and therefore defended the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And then what did the modern acharyas do? They distributed that love everywhere. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted it to go to the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He sent disciples to the West. And then Srila Prabhupada created the whole movement in the West. So this is the history of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Mahaprabhu demonstrated. Goswamis documented. The three acharyas disseminated. Vishwanath deepened. Baladev defended. Then the modern acharyas distributed. And this is the legacy. So this is Srila Prabhupada. This is the legacy now of the Mahaprabhu. That somehow or other this movement has to go on. We all know the story. Abhay, a young householder, was told by his friend Narendra Nath, there is a great sadhu. His name is Bhaktisiddhanta and I want you to come and meet him. And Prabhupada said, no, I've seen so many sadhus. I've seen so many so-called saintly people. They're not so saintly. I don't know. Will he be any different? Narendranath said, no, you come and see him. He's different.
is different.
And so Abe went with Narendranath to that famous place which we have acquired now in Calcutta. And as they went onto the roof, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was lecturing, and Abe bowed down, then before he could even get up, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati prophetically told him, "You are young. You are intelligent. Why don't you spread the teachings of Krishna consciousness everywhere?" The very first thing he said to him. And that was it. It was in Prabhupada's mind. How will I spread the teachings of Krishna consciousness everywhere? So Prabhupada could not immediately do it because he was a householder. So many responsibilities. But in his mind, I have to do it. He said that Srila Prabhupada had a pharmacy. And what he would do is he would also support the Gaudiya Math. So they would be doing lectures in his home. So he would come back in the evening from his pharmacy. And on the top, there would be a lecture going on of the Gaudiya Math sannyasis. And on the ground floor, his wife would be cooking. And so he would come back home and he would have some rounds to chant. So he would sit on the staircase and he would finish his rounds. And then one day he was sitting on the staircase chanting his rounds and everyone was coming out from the lecture. And finally the sannyasi came out, who was giving the lecture. So Abe said to the sannyasi, what did you discuss today? He said, "We were reading Chaitanya Bhagavat. Prithivite ache yata nagaradigram sarvatra prachara hoibe moranam." We were reading Chaitanya Bhagavat and Vrindavan Das Thakur says that Mahaprabhu's name will go to every town and village. And he said, we were thinking, what does this mean? He hasn't even gone beyond Bengal. People even beyond Bengal don't know Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada stood up and Prabhupada looked at him and he said, Some fool who has full faith in the words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, some fool will do it. And then Prabhupada walked down one step and he looked at him and he said, but it won't be you. Because you don't have faith. So Prabhupada knew, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had told him, so he had that faith. He knew it has to happen, it has to come to pass. So then eventually Prabhupada retired, he went to Vrindavan and he was staying in Radha Damodar temple, isn't it? Prabhupada moved there in 1959. He said every day Prabhupada would go around Vrindavan to all the temples and he would also visit Radha Kund. There he was chanting. And one Babaji in Radha Kund, he remembered Prabhupada and he said, I have lived in Radha Kund for 80 years, but I have never seen anyone who does such intense bhajan as Bhaktivedanta Swami. I've never seen anyone who does as intense. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he was just praying. There was one other, Hridayananda Babaji, he was at Radha Damodar temple, and in the middle of the night, one night, he heard some voices. So for those of you who have been to Radha Damodar, there's a courtyard and Rupa Goswami's samadhi is there. So he looked into the courtyard and he saw Prabhupada was there and he was sweeping in front of Rupa Goswami's samadhi in the middle of the night. And he was crying. He was saying, "Oh Rupa Goswami, my spiritual master has given me the mission to spread this all over the world. How will I do it? How will I do it?" And like this, he was praying. So Prabhupada was just intensely praying. And then finally, Srila Prabhupada got passage and he went, isn't it? He went on board the Jaladuta. He went to America. Prabhupada was just traveling around, isn't it? Traveling everywhere. You can see. Just came to America. So foreign. See the videos where Prabhupada was, who he was surrounded by, so foreign. But he just closed his eyes and he just chanted. And then he just continued traveling, moving everywhere. One time he came to one American city, there was an Indian press reporter. So the reporter, he looked at Prabhupada, he said, "Swamiji, why have you come to America?" As if he's an American himself. "Why have you come to America?" The Indian reporter said. So Prabhupada said, "Why have you come to America?" So the Indian reporter looked at him and said, "For better opportunities." Prabhupada said, "Me too." "But you have come for better opportunities to take." "I have come for better opportunities to give." So that was Prabhupada. He just came and he was just traveling and he was working so hard. He was just going from place to place, establishing temples from morning to evening. Brahmananda Prabhu was his secretary at one point. You know what Brahmananda Prabhu said? He said, "One day I was with Prabhupada." Not one day, he said practically every day was like this. But on one particular day, I was with Prabhupada from the very morning till the night. He woke up in the morning before everyone else at 2 p.m. He was translating. Then he chanted. Then he gave the class. Then he counseled the devotees. Then he met the managers. Then he went out to do some programs. Then he met some eminent people. Then he came back and gave another class. And then we went out in the evening to visit another life member. He said, "I was coming back with Prabhupada in the taxi at 10 p.m. at night." Brahmananda, you know. Brahmananda, big. And he said, Prabhupada was next to me. And he said, Prabhupada began to fall asleep. And then he began to fall asleep like this. And he went right into the lap of Brahmananda. Prabhupada was in his lap, sleeping. And he just looked down and he looked at Prabhupada and he just said, "Every last bit of energy, Prabhupada just gave it. Just gave every last bit of energy to just share Krishna consciousness with others." He said, "I never saw anyone in my life who made such a sacrifice." Prabhupada just gave everything. He left no stone unturned. And so, this is the legacy. This is the legacy that somehow we have to continue this movement, right? Let me ask you a question. Does anyone know what is the most quoted verse that Prabhupada cited from the Chaitanya Charitamrita in all of his travels across the world? Does anyone know which verse, above and beyond any other verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada quoted this in practically every forum, in morning walks, in Gita classes, in meetings with devotees, in room conversations, in his purports? Prabhupada quoted this verse more than any other verse. Anyone know which verse this is? Good try. Good try. Yes. This is the verse that Prabhupada quoted above and beyond any other verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. "Jaradeka tarakaha Krishna upadesh amara agyaya guru anatare e desh." Whoever you meet, whoever you speak to, instruct them on the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, become a spiritual master and deliver the people of this country. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 7, 128. Mahaprabhu is traveling to South India and he meets the Kurma Brahmana. And the Kurma Brahmana comes and says to him, "It's too difficult material life, too many complications, too many difficulties, too much obstacle to my spiritual life. Mahaprabhu, I want to leave everything and I just want to come and travel with you. And Mahaprabhu tells him this verse. He says, don't be a fool. Stay at home, but do this. And what does Mahaprabhu tell him after this verse? Kabuna badibe tomar vishaya taranga. If you follow this instruction, kabuna badibe tomar vishaya taranga, the waves of materialistic life will not affect you. If you do this, punarapi ethani pabe mora sangha, you will always be living with me. This is the legacy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That somehow or other, all of us have to do this. All of us have to share the love that we have received with others. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are not going on. They didn't go on 500 years ago. They're going on even today. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, adyapiha shai lila kaha gauraroi kona kona bhagyavan dekhi bharapoi. Mahaprabhu's pastimes are going on even today. Kona kona bhagyavan dekhi bharapoi. But who is that fortunate person who will be able to experience Mahaprabhu's pastimes going on now? Who's that fortunate person? The fortunate person that says, I'm going to go out of my way to help someone else. I'm going to go out of my way to share the love with others. If you dedicate your life to helping other people solve their problems, your problems will be solved automatically. If you dedicate your life to helping other people become wise, you will become wise automatically. If you dedicate your life to giving bhakti to others, your own bhakti will be awakened. And if you give your life to making other people truly experience spiritual happiness, you will experience spiritual happiness. This is the legacy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the line that we are in. And so, all of us have that opportunity. We have to carry this message to others. It's such a beautiful temple we have here. We have to invite the whole world to come back here. Now, someone may say, I'm not a preacher. You have to be brave. One time, Prabhupada was walking with the devotees in Calcutta and they went past the Victoria Memorial. And Prabhupada said, when I was a kid, I climbed right to the top of the Victoria Memorial. And the devotee said, wow, Prabhupada, you must have been very brave as a child. Prabhupada said, I was brave then and I'm brave now. Otherwise, how could I come to your country with nothing? So we have to be brave. In whatever way we can, we have to somehow reach out to others. And when we reach out to others and share Krishna consciousness, then we experience being in the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then all your problems will get solved. Then all the difficult spiritual life seems so hard, it will become insignificant. We have to somehow, in whatever way, according to our personality, we can reach out to others. And when you do it, magical things happen. I'll share some stories with you of what happens when you go to teach Krishna consciousness to others. You see, when I was young and I was thinking of joining the temple, then all the devotees, they were trying to convince me, like, yes, join, join. So I remember once being in a room, and there were 15 devotees and they were trying to convince me, like, okay, join the temple, join the temple. So I thought, wow, they really want me, you know. I must be special. They're really gunning for me, you know. And then one devotee, he stood up and he said something which was the most humbling statement and simultaneously the most inspiring statement. I was sitting in that room thinking they want me. And he stood up and he said, you know, this movement is a miraculous movement. There were miracles in the past, there's miracles now, and there's going to be even more miracles in the future. This movement is going to spread whether you join or not. The question is, do you want to be part of the magic? And I said, yo, sign me up. It was humbling because in that moment I realized I'm a no one. Who am I? What do I have to offer? But you can be part of the transcendental drama. Because when you reach out to others, Krishna magic begins to happen. And I could spend evenings and evenings telling you the story of Krishna magic, of what happens when people reach out to others. Last marathon, I told one devotee, here are 500 chant and be happies. I want you to distribute them. He said, no, no, it's too many. Give me 50 to start with. I'll see how it goes. I know what happens when people say that. So what I did is I stole his car keys. I opened his car and I put 500 books in the boot. And then when he was driving away, he was already 2 hours away. I called him. I said, look in your boot. He said, there's 500 books in there. I said, it's going to happen. Don't worry. You know what happened the next day? He went into the supermarket. Anyway, he was trying to buy something. And then he got talking to one of the people, you know, restacking the shelves. And the person looked a bit stressed out. So he said to the person, what's the problem? He said, I'm stressed. Christmas is coming. I've got so many relatives. I've got so many people. I have to go to work and I have to give all these presents to people. I don't even know what will I buy for them. He said, you know, Pete, and so the devotee said to him, you know what happens? People get stressed nowadays. So, you know, it's really good to teach people about meditation. So why don't you give them a book on meditation? You know, that's something everyone can appreciate. He said, that's a good idea. He said, but where will I get one from? He said, maybe I can help. He said, no, no, you can't help. I need like lots. He said, you need lots? How many do you need? He said, I need 300. He said, okay. Let me give me a few minutes. Let me make a few calls. And then he just wrote, he came back into it. He said, come to the car park with me. This is all on the spot in 5 minutes. He said, come to the car. So he came to the car park. He opened the book. He goes, where did all these books come from? He goes, you wanted books on meditation. So he said, there's 300. He said, yeah. He said, there's a few extra here. Just take some extra just in case I'll do a deal with you. Boom, 500 books in one go. So he called me up the next day. I said, okay. How many now? 1,000? If you try, amazing things can happen. I tell you another story. December, one of our devotees going door to door. Knocks on one door. Lady opens the door. Indian lady. As soon as she sees the devotee, she begins crying, 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 uncontrollably. She says, come in. She can't even speak. And then she says, when she calms down, she says, what's the problem? She said, 5 years ago, my son died. And today is the anniversary. And you know what I do every single year on the anniversary of my son? Is I go to the Hare Krishna temple and I go for Gaura Arati at 7 o'clock. And just before you knocked, I was thinking this is a year I'm going to miss out. And the clock's ticking. And just when the clock reached 7 o'clock, you knocked on my door. I could not go to Krishna's temple. I was feeling so bad. And Krishna has come to me. Prabhupada said, there are people out there who are just waiting. You just have to become part of the drama. I'll show you another one. This December, I was distributing books. I was in one town, 2 hours away from London. So what happened is I stopped this man. I stopped him. He was from Ghana. So I said to him, so you know, like when you want to distribute a book, you have to connect with someone. You have to find some common ground. So I said, oh, do you think about life, deeper things in life? He said, no. I said, have you ever heard of karma? He said, no. I said, anyway, so I thought, oh my God, not philosophy. And I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Ghana. I said, oh, you're from Ghana. I recently went to Nigeria. He goes, I hate Nigerians. Everything I was trying was just blocking. No connection, no connection. I was thinking how I will connect with him. How I will establish a relationship. I can't give him a book. And then I look down. Can you see? Can you see something interesting here? So I looked, because I was just looking at his eyes, and I looked down. He had a Nishinga coverage. So I looked at him, I said, what's this? He goes, what's what? No, I said, what's this around your neck? He goes, I don't know. So then I pulled out, I showed him, I go, look. So when he saw me, he goes, you're my brother. He goes, you're my brother. So I thought, okay, we got a connection now. So I said, where did you get this from? He goes, I was going through a market in Ghana. And I picked this up. I was attracted. So I said, so you wear it now? He says, I wear it all the time. I said, why do you wear it? And you know what he said? He said, I wear this because when I wear this around my neck, I feel so safe. So then I had to give him full seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. This is the reason. And then he took a book and we're still in contact. Just have to try. Just have to go out there. Krishna said to Arjuna, I already killed everyone on the battlefield. It's done. Work is done. You just be nimitta matram bhavasavyas. Just be my instrument. Get involved. Get inspired. I'll tell you another one. We were once traveling in the Sankirtan van going for book distribution. Six of us were in the van. And I tell you, devotees, they can fall asleep anywhere. I've even seen devotees fall asleep while standing up. I've seen a devotee fall asleep while giving a class. So we were driving on Sankirtan. Everyone fell asleep. Thankfully, not the driver. But everyone else, fully. Anyway, finally, we ended up in the car park. So he said, okay, everyone, we're here. So then we went out into the town, six of us. I came out into the town. It was tiny. There was no one there. I said, where did you bring us? He said, you wanted to go. It was a place called Torquay. I said, yeah. That's where we wanted to go. And then we stopped one person. He said, Torquay? No, this is the wrong place. That place is 20 minutes ahead. I said, you brought us to the wrong place. So we said, oh, what will we do here all day? So we thought, okay, we have to go back to the van. So he was saying, no, I didn't space out. I didn't make a mistake. Krishna must have brought us here for a reason. It's the typical devotee excuse. He said, no, Krishna must have brought us here for one reason. So he said, you know what? Let's stop one person and see what happens. He said, Krishna must have brought us here for a reason. So literally at that moment, we said, okay, we'll stop one person. So all six of us were standing there and he turned around and he stopped one person. Right? And he put a chant and be happy in his hand. And this person said, I've been reading that all morning. This was the guy. He said, I've been reading that all morning at the beach. This devotee said, wow, you've been reading this book? He said, yeah, I got this book 2 months ago. And I've been reading it every single day. And you know what? It's amazing. And you know what he had done? He had read the whole chant and be happy. He had never met a devotee. He had never been to a temple. He didn't even know what Hare Krishnas were. But you know what he had done? He had read the whole chant and be happy. And you see this? He made his own beads. He made his own beads. He never met any devotee in his life. And you know even what he did? You see this? He even said, look, I even made a Krishna bead. So when he made his 108 beads, he made one big blue bead. And he said, that's the Krishna bead. Because in the book it says, it's a Krishna bead. And Krishna is blue. So I made it a blue bead. He said, I'm chanting every day for 2 hours. I was just chanting at the beach. And somehow, of all the people we could have met in that town, we stopped one person and it was him. Because Krishna wanted us to connect him. Adhya piha shay lila kaha gaur roy kona kona bhagyavan deki bada boy. If you want to see Mahaprabhu, if you want to see Krishna, just reach out. Reach out to one person. Reach out to a work colleague. Reach out to someone in your neighborhood. Reach out to 10 people, 100 people. Reach out to anyone and everyone. Find your way of doing it. Some of you will have to sit up here and give the class. Some of you will have to go out and distribute prasad. Some of you can go out and connect people through the Maha Mantra. Some of you can tell your work colleagues to come for a festival. You've got to bring the whole world back to this beauty. This is the spiritual world. Because this is the legacy of Mahaprabhu. Jare deka, tare kaha, Krishna upadesh. And he says, if you do this, everything will fall into place. So there are so many of us in this room. And if all of us take the responsibility, if everyone in this room said, I'm going to bring back one person to the Hare Krishna temple, one new person every month. Imagine how this is the great opportunity. So this is what I wanted to share with you today. This is the line of the Goswamis, of Mahaprabhu, of the Acharyas, of Baladev, Vishwanath. We're in the line of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We're in the line of Srila Prabhupada. We have to think, at the end of life, Prabhupada may come to us. At the end of life, Prabhupada may come to us. And he may say, what did you do to help others? What did you do to spread the news of the Sankirtan movement? What did you do to share the love with others? And we have to have something to report to Srila Prabhupada. And so, this is the legacy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Somehow or other, if we reach out and if we give, then in giving, we receive the most. And so, these are some things I wanted to share with you over the last few days. We began by talking about the philosophical background. We continued by talking about the practical life of Mahaprabhu. We then talked about love and how that love manifests in our own life. And then we talked about going out there and sharing the love and keeping the legacy going. This is such a beautiful thing. Life becomes so magical when we make this central to our life. So, yes, these are some things I wanted to share with you. and I've gone 2 minutes, 3 minutes over. Shall we take a few questions? Vera? Yes. Is there a mic? Or you just have to speak loud?
Hare Krishna. My question is, as we all know, life is short. Our goal, we have a goal, and that is to go back to God. And we have our guidebooks, which is, as you said, Srimad Bhagavatam. And these guidebooks are very extensive and they show us step by step to achieve this. But what if we are caught in the middle and we haven't completed it? What happens then?
So Krishna says, Neha Bikramana Sosti Pratyavayam Vidyate Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bayat. However far you go from the next life, you'll continue from the same point. So you'll get another chance, you'll get another opportunity, you'll get another set of situations. But my question to you is, do you want to do it all over again? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you have given so many lives to Maya. Now just give one life to Krishna and see what happens. So you said yourself, it's a short life. It's a short life. And there's lots to do. So we just have to take it seriously. We have to go for it. We have to take it. If we do these things, it will happen. Mahaprabhu has given us a process which is so easy, but we just have to honor it. We have to do it. But if we don't, there's no loss. You can't do it all over again from the same point that you left off. Yeah? Yes. Puru at the back.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested prayer when he was understood. Why you don't worship Mahaprabhu in Sanyasa form?
Oh, okay. So whenever we worship Gauranitai on the altar, then we are generally worshipping Gauranitai as Nimai of Nadia, as a Grihastha. So sometimes the question remains, why don't we worship Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi? You see, just like you have Goloka Vrindavan, isn't it, where Krishna performs his eternal leela, you also have Nitya Navadvip. Mahaprabhu in the spiritual world, there is a double spiritual world. There is Krishna in the spiritual world, and then there's Superman. There's Krishna in the spiritual world, and then there's Mahaprabhu in the spiritual world. So what form is Mahaprabhu in the spiritual world? Mahaprabhu is the Grihastha doing the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. So if you read, for example, the writings of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, then he is explaining that just like in Krishna Loka, you have Astakaliya Leela, isn't it? The 8 times of day when Krishna does his pastimes. So in Nitya Navadvip, you have Mahaprabhu who is also doing his pastimes at 8 times of the day. And what is he doing? The Sankirtan pastimes. Therefore, when we're worshipping Gauranga on the altar, we're worshipping Gauranga in his form in Nitya Navadvip, because that's his eternal form. The sannyas leela of Mahaprabhu is an occasional leela. It's not his Nitya leela. His Nitya leela is the Nadia leela. Does it make sense? We'll go to Yadav. Oh, and there's there also. So go here and then there and then. No, yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ignored Chota Haridas for going to Madhavi to beg alms, was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu internally upset with Chota Haridas? Or did he do it purely as an example to teach other people? Just because when you read the Leela, you feel that he was upset with Chota Haridas. But then obviously then when he passed away, then Mahaprabhu accepted his singing.
Yeah.
So how do we understand this? Because it, Mahaprabhu is so merciful, but then when I personally read this pastime, I get a little bit
Yeah, can be strong also.
Yes.
Well, in Srila Prabhupada's purports to that pastime in the beginning of the Antya Leela, then Srila Prabhupada, he actually quotes the Anubhasya of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I think he gives maybe 6 or 7 lessons. He says these are the lessons one should learn. And generally when the commentators talk about that, they quote the famous verse that Sanyasira Alpa Chidra Sarva Loka Gai, that a sannyasi's Shukla Vastra, a sannyasi's life is like a shukla vastra, which means a white cloth. One who is a renunciate, their life should be like a white cloth. And if there's an alpa chidra, even one mark, sarva loka gai, the whole world will talk about it. Just one small thing they do wrong. And therefore, Mahaprabhu knew this principle. And he knew that Kali Yuga is the age of degradation. And therefore, when it came to things like renunciation, he was very, very strict. And therefore, although we know all of these individuals are antaranga bhaktas, they're the parishads, the associates of the Lord. And therefore, in another way, we can understand that Mahaprabhu, you know, Prabhupada sometimes gives the example of how the mother instructs the daughter-in-law through the daughter, isn't it? Some of you have you have experience, like if the daughter-in-law comes to the home, it's like sensitive relationship with the mother-in-law. So if the daughter-in-law is doing something wrong, you cannot directly tell her. It will become too difficult. So therefore, what does the mother-in-law do? When the daughter-in-law is looking, then she chastises her own daughter for the mistake that her daughter-in-law is doing. So the daughter-in-law hears and thinks, oh my God, yeah, I'm also doing that. Okay, I better. And the daughter, she does not take offense because they have a relationship. So instructing the daughter-in-law through the daughter. So we should understand that Mahaprabhu is like that also. Sometimes with his parishads, he is very heavy. To give an example to the world. So, yes. And then we'll come.
Hare Krishna. Okay, according to what Srila Prabhupada said, like, Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to spread some kingdom movement. Because of the interpretation, because they don't have the intelligence to capture. But he said, like, the only thing which can serve the humanity is through Sankirtan, you know, the Harina movement. So I would like to refer to the question which someone asked here. Like, if you read Bhagavata and you reach a point and you don't finish, yet you've been doing Sankirtan, and if you die, will you come back and again continue? Because it really doesn't make sense.
Yes. Kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. The only thing that's going to take you back to the spiritual world in this age is the holy name of Krishna. There's no other way. It's the asti hyeko mahan guna. It's the one great quality in an age which is otherwise filled with faults. That kirtana deva krishnasya, if you chant Krishna's names, mukta sangha param brajet, you become free from all the influence. So then why are we stressing reading the Bhagavatam? Because the Bhagavatam gives one attraction for Krishna. The Bhagavatam is describing the nama, the name, the guna, the qualities, the rupa, the form, the leela, the pastimes of Krishna. And so it's said that chanting Krishna's names and hearing about Krishna's activities go hand in hand. Just as we worship Radha and Krishna, never separate, always together. We chant Krishna's names and hear about Krishna. And therefore, what is the Bhagavatam telling you? Anyway, if you read the Bhagavatam, in the beginning it tells you, Hare Nama Nukirtanam, chant Krishna's names. In the end, the very final verse of Bhagavatam is telling you, Nam Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam, just chant Krishna's names. In the very middle of the Bhagavatam, the pastime of Ajamil is there to tell you, chant Krishna's names. And in every canto of the Bhagavatam, chanting Krishna's names is stressed. So even if you don't finish the Bhagavatam, but you learn to chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, with complete tolerance and respect and with absorption and love, then that chanting of the holy name will take you back to Krishna. So the only one qualification to go back to Krishna is that you have to chant Krishna's names with love. Golokera prema dhan harinam sankirtan. So the love of Goloka, the prema of the spiritual world, has descended in this world in the form of the holy name of Krishna. And so if you somehow get to that point of chanting that name, one sannyasi, he said, all we're doing by all of our reading, all we're doing by all of the austerities, all of the service, all of the sacrifices, all of the worship, is just so that one day we can sit in one corner of the room and say one name of Krishna and experience one genuine teardrop of love fall from the eye. If it comes to that point, Hare Krishna, then you've been successful. So yes, there's no barrier. Is that okay? Makes sense. I'll just go here and then because they've been waiting a long time, and then I'll come here. Actually, time. I don't know how much time we have. Okay, one more.
Hare Krishna. My question is, I have seen and attended 3 days. One thing I've realized is that the main thing why we are performing the devotional service is so that we can rescue those souls that are outside, that are suffering. Because why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came was also to spread the holy name. But sometimes, isn't it wrong if I become a bit selfish for my spiritual life? I've heard some experiences from devotees that they have invested years and years for someone else preaching, like just trying to improve them, and they still want to turn out to be more worse than what they were even. So it's like there is no guarantee. I don't know if someone will actually become a devotee or not. So why will I go invest so much time, and I myself am not perfect? I don't have a guarantee. I will go back home to Godhead. And why is it selfish if I decide to practice my spiritual life and just perfect my life and not go to Godhead?
The rhythm of life is that we breathe out and we breathe in. We breathe out and we breathe in. Out and in. Out and in. This is the rhythm of life. You have to invest in your own spiritual life, and then you have to give. And then you again have to invest, and then you have to give. Invest and give. Invest and give. We are doctors and we are patients as well. So we need to take time to nourish our own spiritual life. But we must share. The world is in need of this. It is Mahaprabhu's desire. Mahaprabhu says, I'm one gardener. I have so many fruits to give, but I need more people to come and help me give the fruits out to others. And one other thing I'll say is this, that giving to others is the very thing that will invest in your spiritual life. By giving to others, you grow. And when you spend time growing yourself, then you become more equipped to give to others. If a person is only breathing out, they'll die. And if a person is only breathing in, they'll die. The rhythm of life is to breathe in and out. And if you want to lead a healthy spiritual life, We must practice very sincerely. We must practice very deeply. And then we must go. We must go out of the comfort zone. We must be a little bit brave. We must find someone, even if it's one person. We may not be the person who changes the world. We probably won't be the person who changes the world. One guru was walking with a disciple along the beach, and all the crabs had been washed onto the beach, and they were all struggling because they weren't in the water. So the guru was going on, there were thousands of crabs, and he picked up one crab and he threw it back in. And then he walked a little longer, he picked up one and he threw it back in. And the disciple said, Guru Dev, Guru Maharaj, what's the point? There's thousands, you'll never achieve it. What's the benefit? He said, maybe I won't be able to throw all of them back in the river. But for the one or two, I've done some service for them. For them, it's a groundbreaking thing. They've received a new lease of life. So try. One person, two people, five people, whatever you can do. Mahaprabhu doesn't say, become the biggest preacher in the world on my order and deliver every single person in sight. He just says, Jare dekha, tare kaha. Every day, do you not see someone? You can connect them. Why can't we all carry prasadam with us? And every day, say, as a regulative principle, when I go out, I'm going to give prasadam to 10 people every day. And just make it your regulative principle. You're already doing that. Simple. Give a book. Give a talk. Become a temple president. Whatever you want to do. Hare Krishna. So thank you. Forgive me. I'm sharing whatever I feel my teachers would want me to share with you. I'm trying to share with you what I feel Srila Prabhupada wants us all to do. And the spiritual master lives forever in his instructions. And the follower lives with him. Every day, if you want to walk with Srila Prabhupada, every day, if you want to come face to face with Srila Prabhupada, you have to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And we cannot deny. Prabhupada was on public television and he said, I'm begging you, help me spread this Krishna consciousness movement. I'm begging you. So we have to try and we have to be brave and we have to come a little bit out of the comfort zone and then Krishna magic will happen. Just one final thing. We have some books here. This white book is like an overview of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So sometimes people find the Bhagavatam very intimidating. So what we've tried to do is summarize it so that you get an overview. And then we have some books on the Gita and some other things here. So if any of you are interested, you're welcome to take away a book. And hopefully it will help you in your studies of Srila Prabhupada's books. Because Srila Prabhupada's books are our greatest treasure. So thank you very much for the opportunity to share something with you. I hope we've all come a little bit closer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And tomorrow as we prepare for Gaur Purnima, we can think of all of these things and make a prayer to Gauranga that let some of these beautiful teachings let them go deeper into our consciousness so we can actually find that love, that pure love, which is the goal of life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.